session number 26560, reel 9.
Mr. Nickel, Reel 9. Now, we're talking about your time in Hong Kong from when you got there to when you went home in November 1952. Now, anything else happened or any things of note?
Not really, but we sort of got back to peacetime soldiering, I suppose that's the best way of putting it. I loved being in Hong Kong. I loved the life.
In what way? What was it?
I liked soldiering. I mean, I'd like being a soldier, and that was that.
But you must have known you were coming up to D-Mob. What did you ever think? What were you thinking about D-Mob? What were you thinking about becoming a regular?
You see, you've got to appreciate that the girlfriend, that's my wife, was in college. Marriage at that stage hadn't been discussed. I knew my feelings, but I didn't really know hers. I did want to sign on, because I was a full corporal and I would have been a sergeant in a very short time.
So you really genuinely thought, because you were just working as a labourer when you were called up, so you were doing well in the army. I'm not saying you weren't doing well before, no. But I mean, you were doing well in the army to get to full corporal.
Yeah, I suppose so. And I mean, perhaps because of where we were and perhaps there was nobody better and you could look at it that way. But yeah, okay, I felt I'd done quite well. I was the only boy when I got home in the village that had ever come back with a couple of stripes on my arm, but I mean, you know, that was. But yes, I did consider signing on. I knew that we would finish our time in Hong Kong and then go back to Cyprus for another spell of duty before coming to the UK, back to the UK. It was a big decision. Did I sort of sign on and chance whether the wife and I sort of split, or did I come home and anyway, I came home. But it was a big argument for 6 months, because I knew in 6 months I could go back at the same rank and join the battalion and
we'll come to that.
You know.
But you made the decision that you didn't want to risk losing your girlfriend.
That's right, really.
Fundamentally,
that was basically what it was, yeah.
Now, anything else happened in that last month or so? or was it just this nice routine life that you...
That was just about it till you know, I caught the boat.
Was there any send-off parties? I mean, you know, D-Mob parties?
Not really, because, you know, all the lads that were in all had group numbers, and you went home on you called into your group number. You know, mine was 5101. So anyway, I was on 5101 or perhaps 5102, all went together. So you went out in dribs and drabs, if you know what I mean. There could be sort of say four from our company and two from somewhere else and six from somewhere else, sort of thing, in one go. No, there was no sort of celebrations or anything like that. I mean, only your close associates in the army. You sort of spent the night before with them and.
But nothing special, just a night out.
Well, that's right. Yeah, you know, really.
And what was the voyage? Do you remember the name of the ship?
The boat I came home on was the Daneira, Empire Daneira.
Daneira.
Yeah, D E N E R D U N.
Oh, I know that one. Sorry, Empire Daneira. Yeah.
Yeah.
And what was it like? What was the journey like?
Well, it was so easy. Because we weren't with the battalion and we were going home, going on demob, you did absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing. You got up in the morning and you tidied your bed space. You probably allotted to a job somewhere, cleaning or something, got that done before the inspection, and the rest of the day was yours, you know. And most of us spent the time lying and looking up at the sun, you know.
Sunbathing.
Yeah, yeah. And eating. I put on a lot of weight coming home, didn't I, love? She wondered what she got when I walked through the door, you know. Fat. That was uneventful. We got off the boat at Southampton. We docked a boat 1 o'clock in the morning. We didn't get off the boat till about 4 in the morning. Customs had been there and they were fed up. Everyone said, show your medal ribbons, Korean medal ribbons, and they just marked your stuff and threw your game, you know. So whatever you're carrying, you brought home, you know. I'd got sort of gold watch and sort of a couple of illegal things that I shouldn't have had, you know.
What sort of thing?
Keepsakes.
No,
no more comment. No. Okay. Keepsakes from the war.
And so what happened then? Were you immediately demobilised or,
there were two corporals on this draft, Corporal Juby and myself, and we had perhaps 40 guys that we had to get from Southampton on a train to London, cross London to get to Liverpool Street, to catch a train to get to Norwich. Well, I would think 30% of the guys in our lot were Londoners, so we lost them in London. They just, wow, gone home, you know. So we got to Norwich. I don't know what day it was on, but it was fairly near Christmas. And we booked in and we reported these guys had gone AWOL, you know. In London, and they just shrugged and said, well, what do you expect? And that was that. We were allowed home, but to report back after Christmas, that's right, isn't it? For our demob, you know, and it was...
In January?
Even the back end of December. It was quite sort of, yeah.
And what was the demob? That happened at Britannia, did it?
Yeah, Britannia.
What was the actual demob procedure? What happened to you?
I can't really remember, but I know we kept... Because we'd got to do this 3.5 years Army Emergency Reserve, we kept all our gear, you see, so there wasn't really any handing in to be done. As soon as they knew that some of us were Army Emergency Reserves, we were just sort of giving the papers, and that was it, you know.
So you kept your uniform. Now, when you came out, you'd had this plan. How did you settle down?
Not very well.
Well, what were the problems in settling back to civilian life?
Well, I suppose...
No, you know, we don't have to embarrass you, but...
No, there was... Living in Norfolk, there wasn't a lot of work. So jobs were scarce. I did get a job through a friend that I knew. All the army discipline seemed to have gone, and you didn't care so much about yourself. You know, it's scruffy, needed a haircut, and I think generally just sort of let myself go. And I think this is pretty usual. And I suppose it took me a good 6 months, didn't it, to settle back, you know. And in that 6 months, my girlfriend was still away.
In London.
Yes, that's right. So my friend who lived in the village had just come out of the Suffolk Regiment, and he'd been to Malaya. So our leisure time was spent sort of drinking, really, you know, us two. And in that 6 months, I think it was about 6 months before she came out of college, it was touch and go whether I went back.
Tell me about what was the, I mean, this is the second part of the decision. You made your first decision,
yeah,
to come out. Now you have to decide whether you're going to go
that's
back
right,
in. You only got,
yeah,
6 months.
That's right.
Well, I
felt lost, to be honest with you. The indiscipline, the lack of other men around me, I suppose it was, I don't know. I didn't feel I was doing what I should be doing. And I thought I should be soldering. Had I known then what I know now, I would have not been silly. I'd have talked it over with my girlfriend and either agreed or disagreed to go back, you know. Now I found out, after we were married, yes, she would have quite enjoyed being a military wife. Because she was a teacher and she could have said she could have taught really anywhere where, you know, where we went, which I suppose is true in a way. So it could have worked out quite well. Had I gone back, I would have done a lot and had, you know, I'd have got my 21 or whatever and got a pension, yeah. But it didn't happen, so...
You decided again to stick with your girlfriend.
Yeah, well, we didn't discuss it and, you know...
But you didn't discuss it, so you weren't, again, you weren't approaching it terribly rationally.
Not really, no. I suppose I was frightened to discuss it, and I don't know how long it was when I came out of the army to how long it was before we became engaged.
Now, what do you think pulled you together, pulled yourself together? Because I don't get the feeling this period lasted that long.
Well, a good 6 to 8 months, but I suppose in the end you start to look at yourself and think, what the hell's happening to me, you know, and she came home. You know, behind every good man there's a pushy woman.
So how did you sort yourself out? I mean, what work did you take? I mean,
well, I started off working for a firm that did government jobs.
Now this is back as a building or build. I mean, I noticed it said labour. Were you a building labourer or were you becoming a tradesman? I mean,
well, what I went on was because the friend that I mentioned before knew that I was had been in the garage and was engineering minded. He asked me if I would go and work as a steel erector, you know, erecting steel. And we were working along the coast, putting up buildings and steel buildings and radar masts and stuff like that, you know. And I suppose I was on that for 18 months, 2 years.
So you sorted yourself out while you were doing that?
Yeah. Well, the money wasn't bad for the area and the time. And I bought myself a motorcycle and I used to sort of use it to go to work and that. And again, you sort of get into a groove, you know. That job folded up and I thought about coming up to Peterborough to work for Perkins Engines, because I always had this interest in engines. And I took another job as a farm sort of maintenance mechanic for 6 months. It was a duck farm, actually, and they could breed ducks and put them on the table in 9 weeks, and this was free range ducks, not shut up ducks, if you know what I mean. There was quite a bit of equipment to look after, and I did that, as I say, for 6 months, and I actually came to Peterborough and got a job with Perkins.
And was that your career? In
well, it was the start of my main career, yeah, I suppose.
Just sketch out, I mean, we've probably gone as far as we need, yeah. But could you sketch out in a few words what your career was? Because, you know...
Yeah, I came and trained as a tester, engine tester. I tested engines for 6 to 8 months. I sort of showed some promise, and I then went on to marine engines. Promoted to lead in hand, promoted to job instructor, promoted to foreman, promoted to general foreman.
Still working in marine engines?
In engines, yeah, test. I took over a whole test shop in the end. And That was obviously shift work, which didn't agree with me very much. And then in 1971, I went there into health and safety. And when I was in there till I retired, or till I came out.
That's a big change. Any reason for that?
Well, at the time, the reason was it was... I'd had quite a lot of experience.
Within the same factory, then?
Oh, yes, same firm. Yes, I worked 37 years for Perkins. 1971 until I came out in... When was it? Yeah, 91, I think, yeah.
So, Perkins is a general engineering...
No, it's an engine manufacturer. Engines, usually. They did make petrol engines, but generally a diesel engine manufacturer.
Now, the last thing is that you are involved in a couple of veterans organisations or associations. Are you in the Royal Norfolk Association as well as the Korean veterans?
No, I let it lapse and I've never really... See, Norwich is a long way to go for an evening. I ought to go to the annual dinner, but I have been to one or two, but not recently. I ought to go.
So your main thing is the Korean veterans, isn't it?
Well, I ought to go there more than I do, to
so
be honest.
So you're not really a member, you're not an active member of either?
Not really, no.
Okay, no. Thank you very much.
All right.